This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, covering the towns of Webster, Dudley, Oxford, Douglas, Northbridge, Uxbridge, Whitensville, Upton, Milford, Mendon, and Blackstone. This program is sponsored by the Lions Clubs of Oxford and Uxbridge. And thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we will be bringing you news from the Webster Times, Blackstone Valley Tribune, and the New Uxbridge Times. Today, we will be reading from the May 29th editions. This is Jennifer Antkowiak, along with David Jaffe. Building Community Through Sculpture. New England Sculptors Association creates opportunities for local communities. ValleyCast, the arts and culture arm of Open Sky Community Services, is thrilled to welcome the New England Sculptors Association, NISA, every winter for their annual Inside and Out exhibition. Artists from all around New England submit amazing sculptures that are seen inside the Spalding R. Aldrich Heritage Gallery, 50 Douglas Road in Whitensville, and outside on the grounds of the Alternatives White & Mill Complex for people to enjoy throughout the winter. January 2026 marked the fifth anniversary of this amazing collaboration that brings sculpture to the local community. This year, in addition to this collaboration, NISA's grant writer, Christina Spiedel, secured a grant from the Mass Cultural Council. The funds enabled several NISA sculptures to work with area nonprofit agencies to bring the joy of building sculpture to underserved communities. Because ValleyCast has a long-standing collaboration with NISA, Open Sky was one of the lucky agencies chosen to participate, along with the Worcester Public Library, Hector House, Abby's House, Worcester Art Museum's Victory Program, ACE, Bertram Senior Home, and the Mystic Learning Center's After School Youth Program. NISA sculptor and community arts liaison Lynn Simmons and NISA sculptor and vice president Beda Asbridge worked with Christy Caleri, director of community outreach at Open Sky, to teach a birdhouse building sculpture workshop. Each of the nine participants, a mix of community members and individuals from Open Sky programs, assembled and then painted their own separate birdhouses. Most participants had never used a power tool before and said they felt empowered as they successfully screwed the birdhouses together. Participants then painted their birdhouses with brightly colored rainbows, pink and red hearts, and green landscapes, some adding painted words like hope and peace to their finished designs. All nine birdhouses were then installed together on a post secured into the ground in a garden in the lower parking lot. Together, these vibrant, multicolored homes for birds can be enjoyed by all who visit the Alternatives White & Mill Complex, which hopefully, one day soon, will also include the local community of birds. The New England Sculptor Association was founded in 1948 and now has over 210 professional sculptor members, emerging sculptors, and friends of NISA from all six New England states and New York. NISA members are selected by jury and work in a variety of media. Since the association has no brick-and-mortar presence, NISA partners with local galleries, museums, historical sites, and communities to bring sculpture in all its amazing forms to the public. NISA and ValleyCast have been enjoying their collaboration for 5 years. The sixth annual Inside and Out exhibit will be held in January 2027. ValleyCast fosters a creative and engaged community in the historic Blackstone Valley that is inclusive and supportive of all people with and without disabilities. ValleyCast curates events and activities that bring people of all ages, abilities, and walks of life together. ValleyCast is the arts and culture arm of Open Sky Community Services. Open Sky Community Services provides the foundation for those served to see beyond and live beyond their circumstances. By blending best practices with the power of community, they enable individuals and families to achieve their goals and live their best lives. To learn more about the New England Sculptors Association, visit nesculptors.org. To learn more about ValleyCast and or Open Sky Community Services, visit openskycs.org. Soter announces $210,000 grant for Uxbridge through Shared Streets and Spaces program. State Rep. Michael Soter is pleased to announce that the town of Uxbridge has been awarded $210,000 in funding for equipment through the Shared Streets and Spaces program, administered by the Massachusetts Department of Transportation, MassDOT. This program provides critical funding to municipalities to quickly implement improvements to public spaces, supporting public health, safe mobility, and strengthened commerce. The Shared Streets and Spaces program was launched in 2020 to provide flexible, quick-build grants for projects that can be implemented within 18 months. While the program supports a wide range of infrastructure improvements, including sidewalks and transit-supportive facilities, this specific award for Uxbridge falls under the equipment and materials category, which allows for grants of up to $250,000. Securing this $210,000 for Uxbridge is a major win for our community's infrastructure and safety, said Soter. This funding will provide our community with the essential equipment needed to maintain and improve our public spaces, ensuring they remain accessible and safe for all residents. Whether it's enhancing pedestrian safety or supporting our local business districts, these resources allow us to make immediate, tangible improvements to the quality of life in Uxbridge. Eligible equipment under this grant program can include a variety of items designed to improve the functionality of public ways, such as snow removal equipment for pedestrian and bicyclist facilities, speed feedback signs to enhance traffic safety, or materials to support outdoor programming and commerce in public plazas. To be eligible for these funds, projects must align with the program's goals of fostering safe mobility and are required to be located on municipally owned property that is accessible to the public. Uxbridge's successful application highlights the town's commitment to implementing quick-build solutions that provide immediate benefits to the community. About the 8th Worcester District, the 8th Worcester District, represented by State Representative Michael Soter, includes the towns of Bellingham, Blackstone, Millville, Medway, Precinct 1, and Uxbridge, Precincts 1A, 2, 3, and 4. St. Patrick's Church hosting car wash, bottle and can drive. St. Patrick's Parish, 7 East Street in Whitensville, will be holding a car wash in the parking lot on Saturday, June 6th from 8 a.m. to noon. The car wash is $10 per car, cash only. They will also be accepting donations of cans and plastic bottles, no glass please, that are returnable in Massachusetts. All proceeds will support YIA service trip to Bowling Green, Kentucky. Thank you for your support. For more information, call 508-234-5656. Strawberry Festival to feature local farm presentation. Residents will have an opportunity to learn more about one of the Blackstone Valley's longtime family farms during a Strawberry Festival event scheduled for Wednesday, June 10th from 1 to 2 p.m. The program titled From Seedlings to Sweetness, The Story of Our Strawberries, will feature Ken Fopama of Fopama's Farm, a family-owned and operated farm that has served the region since 1983. During the presentation, guests will hear about the history of the farm and the process of growing strawberries and other seasonal crops on the family's 75-acre property. Fopama's Farm is known throughout the region for its strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, sweet corn, tomatoes, apples, and other fresh produce sold at its farm stand. Organizers say the event will also include themed refreshments and a free raffle for attendees. Admission is $5 cash, payable at the door on the day of the event. Participants are encouraged to sign up in the main office in advance. Radio's 2026 Battle of the Bartenders raises $4,440 for child awaiting heart transplant. The recent Radio 2026 Battle of the Bartenders at Legends Sports Bar and Grill was more than just a bartending competition. It was a night filled with energy, laughter, creativity, community spirit, and an incredible outpouring of generosity. Hosted by Radio at the DoubleTree by Hilton Boston Milford, the event featured six talented local bartenders competing in a series of fun and challenging contests while raising money for a very special cause. When the final scores were tallied, Iris Bentley of Cornell's Irish Pub was crowned the 2026 Battle of the Bartenders champion, earning the $250 grand prize after narrowly edging out a strong field of competitors. Participating bartenders included Ashley Smith from Valley Pub, Polish Hall, Kristen Precourt from The Shed, Kay Cooks, Iris Bentley from Cornell's Irish Pub, Jean Barry from The Black Harp, Zach Andrew from Rail Trail Flatbread Company, and Dario Palumbo from Italian Vets in Milford. Each bartender also received a $50 tip bonus in appreciation for participating and helping support the fundraiser. While the cocktail competition kept the crowd entertained, the true focus of the evening was raising money for 5-year-old Elena, who is bravely living with hypoplastic left heart syndrome while awaiting a heart transplant at Boston Children's Hospital. The fundraiser was held in partnership with Radiate Positivity Initiative, whose mission is to support children and families facing difficult medical journeys. Funds raised from the event will help provide Alina with an oxygen concentrator, portable oxygen tanks, battery packs, and support for her adaptive bicycle, giving her greater freedom and independence while she continues her fight. With everything Alina and her family are facing, seeing the community rally together like this was incredibly emotional, said Ray Auger, owner and operator of Radio. We thought our goal of $3,800 was going to be difficult to hit, but the generosity in that room was absolutely amazing. By the end of the night, attendees and sponsors helped raise an incredible $4,440 for Alina and other children in need through Radiate Positivity Initiative. Radio would like to thank judges Rich Sear, Julie Johnson, and Amanda Bedrosian, last year's Battle of the Bartenders champion, for helping make the evening a success, along with the outstanding staff at Legends at the DoubleTree. Special thanks also go out to Tim Rice Photo for capturing the event, and to sponsors Blackstone Valley Power Washing, DoubleTree by Hilton, Boston Milford, Masters Touch Design Build, Berry Hill Farm, which also made an additional donation to the cause. And Radio also extended a heartfelt thank you to Julie Atherton of Milford Hardwood Floors for her generous contribution. Radio continues its mission of bringing the community together through fun, meaningful local events that make a positive impact throughout the greater Milford area. For more information about Radio, visit www.localradio.com or follow at Local Radio on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Milltown Merchants' annual Church Street Sidewalk Sale. The Milltown Merchants are excited to announce the 7th annual Church Street Sidewalk Sale, taking place Saturday, June 20th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., rain or shine, on Church Street in Whitensville. The Church Street Sidewalk Sale has been a longtime tradition in the community, dating back many years. When the well-known Baker's Department Store closed, the event slowly fizzled out for a period of time. 7 years ago, several local Church Street shop owners came together with the hope of bringing the tradition back to life, not only as a shopping event, but as a true community gathering. This year's event will feature local vendors, handmade goods, food, kids' activities, family-friendly entertainment, and a special youth entrepreneur area showcasing talented young business owners from the community. The Milltown Merchants consist of Christine, Little Man Originals, Kathy, Catalina's Boutique, Kelly, Thrivewell Hub, and Leslie, the Crafty Nest DIY.
Hi, this is David Jaffe reading the Webster Times on Friday, May 29th, 2026. Auburn resident recognized for innovative Alzheimer's and dementia care. Benchmark Senior Living, a leading senior living provider in the Northeast, today announced that Michael Tubbs, Senior Director of Lifestyle Engagement, and Michelle Tristani, Director of Memory Care Training and Innovation, have been named recipients of the 2026 Memory Care Innovation Awards from WTWH Healthcare. The two are among just 13 professionals nationwide recognized for advancing dementia care. The annual awards honor leaders who are redefining cognitive care delivery and shaping the future of aging through innovative, high-quality approaches that improve outcomes for individuals living with memory-related conditions and those who care for them. Tubbs, who lives in Auburn, brings more than 16 years of experience across senior living, beginning his career as a recreational therapist. While serving as an executive director for several memory care communities, including Benchmark's Adelaide of Newton Center, he identified opportunities to enhance staff training, caregiver support, and resident engagement. Today, Tubbs is helping lead a holistic transformation of memory care across Benchmark's 68 mind and memory care communities throughout the Northeast. His work includes reimagining training programs, introducing purposefully designed environments that empower residents, and expanding staff development initiatives such as mentorship programs. His forward-thinking approach continues to set a new standard for memory care. Tristani, who lives in Providence, Rhode Island, and has more than 38 years of experience in healthcare and senior living, is a nationally recognized educator, speaker, and author specializing in dementia care. A speech-language pathologist by training, she has dedicated her career to improving how organizations support individuals living with Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Benchmark, Tristani has built a comprehensive training and support model that equips caregivers with the tools and real-time guidance needed to deliver personalized, compassionate care. She developed Benchmark's nationally recognized Connect First program, an innovative communication approach designed to foster meaningful human connection for those living with dementia. Her immersive training programs promote collaboration, strengthen care practices, and empower staff across all communities. In addition to her educational leadership, Tristani oversees on-demand behavioral expressions consultants system-wide, delivering tailored care strategies for residents with complex needs. These insights are continuously tracked and refined, creating a feedback loop that enhances care quality across the organization. I feel truly honored to work alongside such passionate and skilled professionals like Michael and Michelle, said Beth Sampath, Vice President of Operations and Resident Programming. They challenge the status quo every day and exemplify what innovation in memory care can and should be. Janet Malzer grants fund Children's Curiosity Center and Pollinator Garden at the Pearl. The Pearl L. Crawford Memorial Library in Dudley was recently awarded an $8,155 Janet Malzer grant to upgrade the children's room with a new space named the Crawford Curiosity Center. An underutilized cubby will be removed and replaced with a STEM-based busy wall designed for children ages 1 to 6. The transformation will enhance the functionality, educational value, and visual appeal of space, while directly supporting early childhood learning and development. STEM learning in early childhood is critical as it lays the foundation for later success in critical thinking, spatial reasoning, and logical problem solving, Library Director Nicole Messier said. Work is set to commence late fall. Additionally, local nonprofit Local for Life was awarded a $2,600 Janet Malzer grant to install a pollinator garden on the front lawn of the Pearl. Local for Life has partnered with the Pearl over the past 2 years to provide 6 educational programs for children and families in the Fells Community Room. These programs have featured hands-on learning experiences focused on topics such as soil health, composting, pollinators, plant life cycles, and agricultural crops. The grant funding will enable these lessons to be expanded into an outdoor setting, creating opportunities for more structured and immersive programming. Examples of educational activities in this garden include nature-based literacy activities, age-appropriate science lessons, and environmental stewardship workshops. It will also be used to support the library's 2026 summer reading program theme, Plant Seed Read. This reading program idea is rooted in the concept of farm to table. The garden space will also be open to informal use by the library patrons, small groups, and families seeking a peaceful and educational outdoor environment. Janet Malzer Humanities Trust supports Gladys E. Kelly Library. The Janet Malzer Humanities Trust has generously supported the Gladys E. Kelly Public Library with a grant to the Friends of the Library. The library's popular music series will continue throughout the year. Another grant given to the library will bring a prominent author to Webster through their One Book, One Community annual event. The library has been hosting a concert series since the opening of the new building in 2018. With this grant, funding the library will continue its adult concert series and also hold more youth and family concerts. We've seen a growing interest in music programming for youth within our community. Community members are asking for more and more concerts that they can and the families can attend, and we aim to please, commented Gladys E. Kelly Library Director Sondra Murphy. As a result of this demand, the library has already scheduled three large-scale musical performances for the summer. This year's One Book, One Community author, R.F. Quang, attracted a crowd of over 150. This is the library's fifth year hosting this event, with attendance building steadily every year. With continued support from the Janet Malzer Humanities Trust, the library will be able to host another New York Times bestselling author next spring. Thanks to these generous grants from the Janet Malzer Humanities Trust, the library continues to offer more exciting events and programs for the community. Ryan Murphy named Vice President for Advancement at Nichols College. Ryan Murphy, a seasoned and successful fundraising professional, has been named Vice President for Advancement at Nichols College. He will begin his role on June 15th. I'm so thrilled to return to Nichols College, where I received a master's degree back in 2010. I'm truly excited to work alongside President Brzezinski, his cabinet, and a talented veteran advancement team, said Murphy. I can't wait to join the herd and engage with Bison alumni, friends, families, students, trustees, faculty, and staff while elevating philanthropy at Nichols to the next level. It is a privilege to join this exceptional community that is in the business of transforming students into leaders. Murphy joins Nichols from Anna Maria College, where he has served as Vice President for Advancement since 2023. In this role, he served as a member of the presidential cabinet and managed a staff of seven. Under his tenure, Anna Maria increased gifts to the annual operating fund year over year by 26% in his first year, by 300% to $1.5 million in 2024-2025, and by 430% to $6.5 million thus far in 2025-2026. Before his arrival, the AMC annual operating fund's highest amount raised was $560,000. Anna Maria also received a gift of $5 million this past March, the largest gift ever to the college. His strategic vision and collaborative efforts enabled the advancement team to raise $4.3 million in capital funding for key projects, including the Merriam Nursing Building and related equipment, the St. Joseph Science Building, the Mental Health and Wellness Center, and improvements in the college's athletics facilities. Murphy also implemented a new database with more automation, collaboration with athletics to launch the AMCAT Challenge, and strengthened alumni engagement, stewardship, and donor communications. Prior to Anna Maria, Murphy served as a major gift officer at the College of the Holy Cross from 2018 through 2023. He secured $5.5 million during 2022-2023 fiscal year, including multiple seven-figure bequest intentions. His efforts enabled Holy Cross to establish more than 10 endowed financial aid and academic scholarships and create a $1 million endowed scholarship for the Football Summer Program, a distinctive student-athlete support initiative that contributed to the team's six-year championship success from 2019 to 2024. Murphy also played an integral role in the college's comprehensive $420 million Become More campaign and its $50 million Hope and Access campaign for student financial aid. Prior to his work in fundraising, Murphy served in leadership roles of increasing responsibility in sales, operations, management and business development for national companies, including Cintas, Altria, MillerCoors, and Chiquita. Murphy earned a bachelor's degree and an MBA from Assumption University, where he played on the varsity soccer and tennis teams, a Master of Science in Organizational Leadership from Nichols College, and a Master Certificate in Applied Project Management from Villanova University. An active community volunteer and sports coach, he received the Holden Good Neighbor Award in 2023. Murphy resides in Holden with his spouse Allison and their four children, Owen, Declan, Jack, and Quinn. Ryan brings significant advancement experience, a proven record of securing multi-million dollar gifts, and a passion for building meaningful and enduring relationships that strengthen the institutions he has served, said Nicholas President Bill Pazinski. Ryan's also a proud alum of our graduate school, and I'm confident that his familiarity with the dedication to Nicholas will be a tremendous asset to as we seek to expand our fundraising efforts and pursue a bright future for the college. Nicholas College has earned business accreditation from the prestigious Association to Advance Collegiate Schools of Business, AACSB International, the longest-serving global accrediting body for business schools and the largest business education network connecting learners, educators, and businesses worldwide. Founded in 1815, Nicholas College transforms today's students into tomorrow's leaders through a dynamic, career-focused business and professional education. Nicholas offers real-world learning focused on professional depth, combined with vibrant living, competitive athletics, and an unmatched alumni advantage, equipping students to exceed their own expectations. Camp Invention's fun, action-packed summer STEM program coming to area. Camp Invention, a nationally recognized nonprofit summer enrichment program, is coming to the following locations. In Auburn, Auburn Middle School, the week of July 6th to July 10th. Uxbridge, Our Lady of the Valley Regional School, for the week of June 22nd to June 26th. Regional program sponsors include Johnson Controls Foundation and Overdeck Family Foundation. A program of the National Inventors Hall of Fame in partnership with the United States Patent and Trademark Office, Camp Invention challenges children in grades K through 6 to tap into their natural curiosity and use their creativity to solve problems. Through hands-on activities, Camp Invention promotes STEM learning, builds confidence, leadership, perseverance, and resourcefulness, and encourages entrepreneurship, all in a fun and engaging environment. Each year, the program features new curricula inspired by some of our nation's most world-changing inventors. The National Inventors Hall of Fame inductees. This year's Spark program encourages children to be confident in their ideas and explore their innovativeness through hands-on activities, including Space Morphers. Kids build a DIY rocket and launch an epic mission to transform a new planet's atmosphere, terrain, and ecosystem. After a high-energy rover race to collect samples and data, they grow dazzling crystal trees and hatch a mysterious animal egg in a space lab. Make Waves. Campers ride the waves of entrepreneurship and invention. Inspired by the surfer's journey, they create prototypes, pitch their innovative products to hook investors, and build a billboard boat to set sail and make waves in the Forensics kids sharpen their mind, their animal detective skills with Capybara and a fleet of robotic capybaras. They investigate a trail of footprints, collect bits of fluffy fur, and examine suspicious platters before forensically analyzing evidence that has a surprising twist. The Infringers campers use their invention superpowers to solve challenges in their community and around the world. They miniaturize top-secret innovations, safeguard their designs using cryptography, and protect their intellectual property from infringers. I love that this camp lets my kids step out of their usual roles that they have at home and in school and explore different parts of themselves, said the parent of a 2025 Camp Invention camper. At camp, my son learns to be more creative, and my daughter learns to be more independent. All local Camp Invention programs are facilitated and taught by qualified educators who reside and teach in the community. Camp Invention serves 147,000 students every year and partners with more than 2,600 schools and districts across the nation. For more information or to register, visit invent.org/camp. Camp Invention is the only nationally recognized summer program focused on creativity, innovation, real-world problem-solving, and the spirit of invention. Through hands-on programming, Camp Invention encourages children entering kindergarten through sixth grade to explore science, technology, engineering, and mathematics curricula inspired by some of the world's greatest inventors. Since 1990, our education programs have served more than 3.3 million children and 297,000 teachers and leadership interns. Regional program sponsors include the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
And now for Lanterns Along Main Street by Charles. The Last Real Waiting Rooms. The other morning, I found myself sitting in a small-town Massachusetts waiting room with six other people and absolutely nothing to do. No television blaring headlines nobody asked for. No giant digital screen flashing advertisements for prescription drugs with side effects worse than the original illness. No music pounding through hidden ceiling speakers. Just silence. Well, not complete silence. There was the occasional page turning from a woman reading a paperback novel, somebody coughing politely into a handkerchief, a coffee machine making tired little gurgling noises in the corner, rain tapping against the windows. And every single person in that room was pretending not to notice each other while secretly noticing everybody. New Englanders are specialists at that. The gentleman across from me wore a Red Sox cap that had clearly survived several presidential administrations. One woman had one of those enormous handbags that probably contained everything short of snow tires and jumper cables. An older fellow near the door kept folding and unfolding his umbrella like he was trying to solve a puzzle. Nobody spoke for nearly 15 minutes. Then, as always happens in small towns, eventually somebody cracked first. A woman looked out the window at the rain and sighed, "Well, I guess the gardens needed it." That was it, the opening pitch. Within 2 minutes, the entire room had become a committee on tomatoes. One man said his plants were late this year. Another insisted you shouldn't put them out before Memorial Day, no matter what the weather says. Somebody else brought up rabbits, then chipmunks, then how nobody can keep woodchucks out of anything anymore. And suddenly the room wasn't quiet anymore. People laughed, people nodded. The fellow with the umbrella told a story about his grandfather covering tomato plants with old bed sheets during a June frost back in 1962. The woman with the giant handbag offered everybody butterscotch candies from somewhere deep inside it, like a magician pulling scarves from a hat. For 20 minutes, nobody looked at a phone. I noticed that afterward. Not because phones are evil. Lord knows I use one often enough myself. My son can somehow pay bills, check the weather, order dinner, and watch a baseball game all on one little screen. Meanwhile, I still occasionally press the flashlight button accidentally and spend 5 minutes wondering why my pocket's glowing. But there was something comforting about that waiting room conversation, because it reminded me of an older kind of American life that seems to be slipping away around the edges. We used to talk to strangers more. Not deeply, not dramatically. We weren't pouring our souls out in the hardware store aisle. But there was an understanding that if you sat beside somebody long enough, eventually one of you would mention the weather, the roads, the Red Sox, or how expensive blueberries have gotten. And from there, conversation simply happened. I worry sometimes that younger folks are losing those tiny everyday interactions that quietly hold communities together. Not friendships, exactly. Something smaller than friendship, but important all the same. Recognition. Familiarity. The sense that you belong among other human beings instead of merely passing beside them. A town isn't only buildings and roads. It's thousands of little moments where people acknowledge each other's existence. Holding doors, waving from pickup trucks, talking about gardens and waiting rooms. That's the glue. You remove enough of those ordinary moments, and eventually people begin feeling lonely without quite understanding why. I don't think most of us need giant solutions nearly as much as we need small reminders that we still live alongside one another. A conversation about tomato plants can do more good than people realize. Eventually, the nurse called my name, and as I stood up, the fellow in the Red Sox cap nodded toward the rain outside and said, "Good soaking rain, anyway." Everybody murmured agreement like members of a town council. I smiled all the way down the hallway. And I thought afterward that maybe the last real community centers in America aren't fancy places after all. Maybe they're ordinary waiting rooms where strangers still talk about gardens while the rain falls outside. News from Plummer Place, home of the Northbridge Senior Center. The following events will take place at Plummer Place, home of the Northbridge Senior Center, located at 20 Highland Street in Whitensville. Our telephone number is 508-234-2002, and please note that Northbridge residents have priority for all programming and events. Please call the main office to sign up for special events and programs so we can plan accordingly. Our regular programs, Meditation with Kelly, is every Thursday morning at 9:30 a.m. The Book Club is the third Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Please call Kelly to find out what book we're reading. Brew Crew is the first Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. And that's going to be Wednesday, June 3rd, with a guest speaker, Adam Gaudette, Northbridge Town Manager. The Dull Men's Club meets the fourth Tuesday at 9:30, and that will be June 23rd. And that guest is State Representative David Maradian. On Thursday, June 18th at Plummer Place, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., the Apollo 11 Mission, America's Proudest Moment. This program describes the origins of the space race, rocketry, the Cold War, the training, the astronauts, and the mission. It will also cover the media frenzy and how America fell in love with the heroes who were responsible for it. You won't want to miss this one. Sign up in the main office. And Wednesday, June 24th, from 12:30 to 2 p.m., the Great Summer Kickoff Party and Luncheon, featuring the Driveway Chicks. The menu for this will be chicken or tuna salad sandwiches, Red Bliss potato salad, cubed watermelon, potato chips, and lemon squares. The cost is $10 per ticket with a two-ticket limit per person. Northbridge residents have priority, and you must have a ticket to attend. Tickets are on sale now in the main office. You must come to the Senior Center in person to purchase your tickets. Sponsored in part by a grant from the Northbridge Cultural Council, a local agency which is supported by the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency, Unibank, and the Friends of Northbridge Elders. Fine. Historical Society plans June events. The Uxbridge Historical Society will host a pair of public programs this June at the historic Cornet John Farnham House, the site of Uxbridge's first town meeting in 1727, and one of the town's earliest surviving buildings. On Sunday, June 7th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., the Society will present Revolutionary Passport Day, a self-guided historical program inviting participants to visit multiple local sites connected to Uxbridge's Revolutionary Era story. Visitors will receive a passport booklet and collect stamps at each stop while learning about the people and places that shaped the community during the nation's founding. A docent will be stationed at each site to answer questions and provide historical insight. The Farnham House will serve as the starting and ending location, where guests can also explore exhibits, and participants will receive a commemorative keepsake at the end of their journey. And on Sunday, June 14th, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., the Blackstone Valley Community Concert Band will perform a Flag Day concert on the Farnham House lawn. The outdoor program will feature patriotic selections as part of the ongoing America 250 commemorations. Guests are encouraged to bring lawn chairs or blankets. These events are designed to bring history to life and connect the community with Uxbridge's earliest stories, said Society President Jim Beauchamp. The Farnham House offers a unique setting to experience that history firsthand. Both events are open to the public. Donations are appreciated to support the preservation of the Farnham House and the Society's programs, collections, and educational efforts. For more information, email uxbridgehistoricalsociety@gmail.com or contact Mary Beauchamp at 508-930-6021. Douglas Historical Society continues 250th celebration. The Douglas Historical Society continues to celebrate our nation's 250th anniversary with Douglas Patriot Days. Throughout June, the Society is offering readings, kids' crafts, games, and a storyboard display describing the contributions made by Douglas citizens to the Revolutionary War. These events, supported by a generous grant from the Mass Cultural Council, will be held at the E.N. Jenks Museum, located at 283 Main Street in Douglas. Follow their new Facebook page, the Douglas Historical Society, where we'll share information about all our events and activities. On June 14th, they will be collaborating with the Douglas Cemetery Commission and the Captain John Knapp Chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution, DAR, to hold cemetery tours at the Douglas Center Cemetery across from the Douglas Common. The guided tour and reenactors will help our history come alive as attendees respectfully stop at headstones that help tell the story of our brave soldiers and their families. For times, tickets, parking information, and more, please visit the Douglas Historical Society or the Eternal Residence of Pine Grove on Facebook or email enjenks1833@gmail.com. The store museum will be open on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. through the summer and fall. The Society hopes you stop by with your questions about Douglas and the historical buildings you see along Main Street and throughout the town. Our docents will be happy to share the town's history with you. Pantry needs new home. The Northbridge Food Pantry staff would like to share an important update about the future of the Northbridge Food Pantry. For many years, we have been incredibly fortunate to call the Northbridge Senior Center our home. Their generosity in providing space at no cost has allowed NAC Food Pantry to serve the community in ways that wouldn't have been possible otherwise, and they are truly grateful for that partnership. As many of you know, the Senior Center will be moving to a new facility in the coming year. As the pantry has grown over time, they have outgrown the space that was originally included in those plans. With that said, the Northbridge Food Pantry will need to find a new home over the next year. They are beginning to explore options and are reaching out to our community for support. If you or someone you know may have available space, or if you're interested in helping secure a future location, they would love to connect. The pantry is also open to partnerships and creative solutions that allow us to continue serving Northbridge residents without interruption. This pantry exists because of this community, and with your help, we are confident we will find the right path forward. Thank you, as always, for your continued support. New England Country Music Club Dance. The New England Country Music Club will hold a dance on Sunday, June 14th, with live music, classic country music by Borrowed Time. Doors open at 12:15 p.m. Music is from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Progressive Club, located at 18 Whiten Street in North Uxbridge. For more information, visit www.facebook.com/NE Country Music Club. A perfect fundraiser at Ravioli's in Millbury. Four Precious Paws Rescue Incorporated will hold a fundraiser at Ravioli's in Millbury on Thursday, June 25th from noon to 9 p.m. Raffles and music will be provided for your enjoyment. In addition, Ravioli's will donate towards our cause. Please join us and enjoy the delicious food and the fun. From all of us at Four Precious Paws, we look forward to you joining us for an enjoyable afternoon and evening. Four Precious Paws Rescue Incorporated is a nonprofit organization from Northbridge, a cat rescue that specializes in pregnant moms and kittens. 4PP currently has 13 kittens for adoption now and in the future when they are healthy enough to go to their forever homes.
Dudley sets candidates night for June 8th. Dudley's annual town election will be held at 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. June 15th at the Dudley Municipal Complex, 71 West Main Street. The candidates on the election ballot have been invited to participate in a candidates' night, 6:30 p.m. at the Dudley Municipal Complex. residents are invited to meet the candidates and pose questions to gain an understanding of their positions relative to town governance and the seat they're seeking. The election ballot holds one contested seat. Incumbent Carrie Gwenowitz Sr. is challenged by Cynthia Iwanski for Board of Selectmen. Unopposed on the ballot are Conrad M. Allen for Assessor, Maureen Chickering for DCRSD, Richard P. Clark for Bay Path Regional, Pamela M. Humphrey for Planning Board, Spencer Lee Bell for Planning Board, Kathleen E. Horn for Library Trustee, and Heather B. Bowes for Library Trustee. Dudley Grange announces 2026 recipients of Dudley Grange Scholarship Award. Dudley Grange is pleased to announce this year's recipients of the Dudley Grange Scholarship Award. The 2026 recipients are David Bettecur from Bay Path Regional Vocational Technical High School, Nina Julian and Haley Fomala, both from Shepherd Hill Regional High School. Dudley Grange, number 163, wishes these students success in their educational pursuits. Dudley Grange awards scholarships each year to graduating seniors from Shepherd Hill Regional, Bay Path Regional Vocational Technical, or Bartlett High School, and any Dudley resident attending an accredited private high school. The Dudley Grange is a family-oriented community service organization with its roots in agriculture. The Grange provides community service to Dudley and the surrounding area and supports local farming and agriculture. Dudley Grange is best known for its annual Strawberry Festival held on the third Thursday in June. This year it is June 18th from 4 p.m. until the berries are gone. For more information on the Dudley Grange, visit our website, dudleyfarmers.com, or our Facebook page, Dudley Grange, number 163. Local Mason shares love of chess. For many years, the Southbridge Chess Club has flourished under the leadership of Benjamin Marinelli, a former Southbridge resident. In 2019, Marinelli earned second place at the Continental Chess Association Tournament, finishing as runner-up in the Eastern Class Championship, B. The club he founded meets at the Jacob Edwards Library in Southbridge on Saturdays in April and May, and then resumes in the fall when the library's Saturday hours end in late May. Most participants are children and teenagers, along with a few adults who enjoy the challenge. Chess brings people together, teaches players to win and lose with grace, and builds valuable skills. It strengthens focus, sparks creativity, boosts confidence, exercises the mind, and helps both children and adults think carefully about the consequences of each move. Marinelli enjoys teaching this challenging game and sharing his passion and skills with the community. He has taught chess at the library for more than 5 years, with support from co-instructor Sheldon Cornier, who hopes to inspire more girls and children to play. One tool they use is the ChessKid.com Puzzles app, which allows students to test their skills on a touchscreen TV and see whether their moves work. Brother Benjamin Marinelli is also a Master Mason and a member of the Major General Salem Town Lodge, MGSTL, in Southbridge. He's belonged to the Fraternity of Freemasonry for more than 8 years, and his commitment to it has strengthened his service to the community. He believes in helping others not only because it's the right thing to do, but also because it helps him become a better man. He values honor and integrity, and those principles are evident in his work within the community. For more information about the Southbridge Chess Club, visit their Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Southbridge Chess Club. To learn more about Freemasonry or find a lodge near you, visit massfreemasonry.org. Editorial: Planting Curiosity, Growing Community. Libraries have always been a place where communities quietly invest in their future. Long before computers, tablets, and smartphones, libraries offer something far more lasting than technology alone: opportunity. A child walking through the doors of a local library may discover a love of reading, an interest in science, a fascination with history, or simply a safe and welcoming place to learn. That is why the recent grant awards supporting the Pearl L. Crawford Memorial Library in Dudley deserve recognition and appreciation throughout the community. The library's new Crawford Curiosity Center represents far more than a renovation project. It's an investment in young minds during the years when curiosity develops fastest. Early childhood educators have long understood that the first few years of life shape the foundation for future learning. Children learn through touching, building, observing, and experimenting. the decision to replace an underused space with the STEM-focused busy wall for children ages 1 through 6 reflects a thoughtful understanding of how children learn best. In recent years, conversations about STEM education often focus on high school robotics teams, advanced science labs, or workforce development. Those are all important, but the real beginning of STEM learning happens much earlier. It begins when a toddler learns how gears move, when a preschooler experiments with shapes and patterns, or when a young child asks why for the 100th time in a single afternoon. Encouraging that curiosity at an early age helps build confidence, problem-solving skills, and creativity that can last a lifetime. The beauty of a project like the Crawford Curiosity Center is that it also keeps learning accessible. Not every family can afford expensive educational toys or enrichment programs. Public libraries help level the playing field by offering opportunities to every child, regardless of background or income. A small-town library becomes one of the few places where education, exploration, and imagination remain entirely free. The second grant award, supporting a pollinator garden through the efforts of Local for Life, highlights another important truth about libraries today. Modern libraries are no longer simply quiet rooms filled with bookshelves. They are active community centers where people gather, learn, and connect with one another. The planned pollinator garden will create an outdoor classroom where children and families can experience science directly through nature. Lessons about soil, pollination, agriculture, and environmental stewardship become far more meaningful when children can see butterflies, bees, flowers, and growing plants with their own eyes. The project also fits naturally with the library's upcoming summer reading theme, Plant a Seed, Read. It's a reminder that literacy and lifelong learning are deeply connected to the world around us. There's also something fitting about a library treating a peaceful outdoor space for the public. In an increasingly hurried world, communities benefit from places that encourage people to slow down, observe, and reflect. Gardens do more than beautify property. They invite conversation, curiosity, and calm. Projects like these also highlight the value of local partnerships. The collaboration between the library and Local for Life demonstrates what can happen when nonprofits, educators, and community organizations work together toward shared goals. Too often, people assume meaningful improvements require massive budgets or state-level initiatives. In reality, many of the most impactful community projects begin locally with dedicated people who simply care enough to act. Dudley should take pride in what the Pearl L. Crawford Memorial Library continues to represent. At a time when many communities worry about disconnection, shrinking attention spans, and the loss of shared civic spaces, the library remains one of the rare places where people of all ages can gather with a common purpose, learning. The new Curiosity Center and Pollinator Garden may seem modest compared to large-scale construction projects or head-grabbing developments, yet their impact could prove far more lasting. Long after the grant money is spent, children will still be discovering, reading, building, and asking questions inside and outside the library walls. That is how strong communities grow, one curious child at a time. Adult learners at QCC benefit from $38,000 Bridges to College grant. Quinsigamond Community College was recently awarded $38,208 by the Healy Driscoll Administration for its Bridges to College program, which helps low-income and entry-level adults transition to higher education. Bridges to College is a free summer program that prepares participants for math and English courses while simultaneously exposing them to the college environment. The Bridges to College summer program gives students a free opportunity to refresh their English and math skills before the fall semester begins, said Director of Mentoring and Special Programs, Kaylin Lewis. Participants gain confidence in college-level coursework, learn about campus resources, and connect with faculty and staff who are committed to their success. Since the program began in 2019, it has received funding from the Department of Higher Education and other key partners, including Hanover Insurance Foundation and Greater Worcester Community Foundation. Program data from the 2019 to 2013 showed that of the students who completed the Bridges to College program, 70% received a C or higher in English, 101 and 102, and almost 70% a C or higher in a college-level math course. For more information, visit qcc.edu/learn-qcc/adult-basic-education/bridges.college. Open Sky appoints two psychiatrists to medical director roles. Open Sky Community Services, a nonprofit behavioral health and human services organization, today announced the appointment of two new medical directors, Dr. Sarah Langenfeld and Dr. Prena Mojani. We're delighted to welcome Dr. Mojani to Open Sky and to appoint Dr. Langenfeld to a well-deserved leadership position, said Ken Bates, President and CEO of Open Sky. Both doctors have proven expertise in navigating the complexities of behavioral health within the core populations and communities we serve. Their insightful, empathetic approach will strengthen our whole person care model while ensuring inclusive and accessible services across all Open Sky programs. I view these additions as a huge step forward for Open Sky in our efforts to provide comprehensive care and the highest quality of clinical services, added Manny Oppong, Executive Vice President and Chief Program Officer of Open Sky. These psychiatrists are coming to Open Sky with years of experience and specialized expertise that will truly support, enhance, and grow our services. Dr. Langenfeld of Worcester has more than two decades of experience as a board-certified psychiatrist and has spent the last 4 years practicing part-time at Open Sky's program of assertive community treatment, where she has provided treatment to individuals with intensive long-term mental health conditions. She has also served as a medical director for a community behavioral health center and as an attending psychiatrist in outpatient services for an area provider. In 2023, Dr. Langenfeld was recognized as a champion of health care by the Worcester Business Journal. As medical director, Dr. Langenfeld will support all of the agency's State Department of Mental Health and Department of Public Health contracted programs. She will also administer psychiatric pharmacology care at Open Sky's Bridge Counseling Center. Dr. Langenfeld earned a bachelor's degree from Bates College in Maine and a Doctor of Medicine degree from UMass's Chan Medical School. Dr. Mojani of Shrewsbury is a board-certified adult, child, and adolescent psychiatrist with years of clinical experience in central Massachusetts, specializing in intergenerational trauma and neurodevelopmental disorders. Dr. Mojani will serve as medical director of Developmental Disability Services and the Child and Family Services Division. She will also provide care at Open Sky's Behavioral Health Urgent Care Clinic. In her previous role, Dr. Mojani served as a child and adolescent psychiatrist at a community-based provider in central Massachusetts. Dr. Mojani earned a bachelor's degree in chemistry from Rutgers University and a doctor of osteopathic medicine degree from the New York Institute of Technology's College of Osteopathic Medicine. Local for Life hosting free weather workshop. Local for Life, an educational nonprofit organization, is hosting a free weather workshop for children ages 5 to 12 called Junior Meteorologists, Field Meteorology on the Farm. It will take place Saturday, June 6th, from 10 to 11 a.m. at Walnut Lane Farm in Dudley. Participants will learn how weather tools from the farm's outdoor weather station provide weather information to the farmers and drive their decisions about the animals and plants on the farm. Real weather data will be collected to determine the air and soil temperature, wind speed and direction, and air pressure. Children will have the opportunity to make their own anemometer, barometer, cloud viewer, and wind vane to take home. Included in the workshop is a tour of the farm. This is not a drop-off event. All children must be accompanied by an adult. Space is limited. Sign up by emailing Erin Anderson at localforlifema@gmail.com or call 508-341-5347. Find Local for Life on Facebook or Instagram for more information. This program is supported in part by a grant from the Dudley Cultural Council, a local agency which is supported by the Mass Cultural Council. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program, schedule either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm David Jaffe, along with Jennifer Ann Kowiak. Thank you for listening.
listen to Audio Journal on your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play radio station Audio Journal on TuneIn. Or, hey Google, play radio station Audio Journal on TuneIn.